Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by Seton Hall head coach Kevin Willard. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in the show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Audible. Audible makes getting more books in your life easy. What's not to love about that? They have an absolutely unbeatable selection of audiobooks, all with fantastic performances. You can easily transform your long commute and ride with Audible. Right now, you can start a 30-day trial and your first audiobook is free. You have to go to audible.com/hoops. Audible has an outstanding collection of exclusive originals, short stories, and comedy, plus the best of news, podcasts, and more, handpicked and continuously refreshed. Be sure to check out audible.com/hoops to start your 30-day trial and get your first audiobook free. And now that we've got you all set up with Audible, how great is it right now that we can start a podcast and actually have basketball to talk about? Because we haven't been able to do that, okay, since last year's NCAA tournament. But every day we wake up, there's a tip-off. Every day you wake up and there's certain games that you want to watch. We finally have action in college basketball. And my biggest takeaway from opening weekend in college hoops was the performance of the SEC. And look, I want to make this clear right now. I, in all my years covering college basketball, have always been nothing but fair and objective. And the fact of the matter is this. When the SEC lost Billy Donovan to the Oklahoma City Thunder, it took a step back. Because during that successive year, that year that followed Billy Donovan going to the Oklahoma City Thunder and leaving the University of Florida, you had three teams from the SEC make the tournament out of a 14-team league. Kentucky, Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt lost by 20 in the play-in game to Wichita State. A&M and Kentucky obviously advanced. Kentucky lost to Indiana in the round of 32. A&M advanced to the Sweet 16 barely. They had that great comeback over Northern Iowa. But with that said, I was painting a picture at that time that the SEC, for all intents and purposes, had to change the image and the perception of its league only one way, and that was on the floor. And the SEC changed its perception last spring, okay, by getting three teams in the Elite Eight, South Carolina, Florida, and Kentucky. And I was just telling the truth, and I told the truth, okay, I believe in my preseason writing this year and on my preseason thoughts on this podcast. I think the SEC is a seven-bid league, and the SEC reaffirmed that by what happened opening weekend. Texas A&M beat West Virginia, a top 15, top 20 team, without its most important player in J.J. Caldwell and without its best NBA prospect in Robert Williams. And the team they did that to was coached by Bob Huggins, a future Hall of Famer. Let that sit in for a second. Alabama dominated Memphis for the final 30 minutes of the game at the CBS Sports Veterans Classic in Annapolis. I was in attendance and did so without three guys, Colin Sexton, Braxton Key, and Riley Norris, who, in my opinion, may close out big games for Alabama at some point this season. And then what can you say about Mike Anderson in Arkansas? Mike Anderson in Arkansas dominate two good mid-majors, Samford and then Bucknell, in dominating fashion. One win was by 35, the other was by 28. And the biggest takeaway I have from watching the Razorbacks on Sunday night, you're going to have to start making the argument that Jalen Barford and Daryl Macon have a chance to be as good as any perimeter in that conference. Those are three teams that are not blue bloods. Those are three teams that are not, you know, obviously having the cachet of a Kentucky or a Florida. And there are three teams that I would be shocked that aren't in the NCAA tournament. The SEC as a conference, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, a combined 15-0. We saw a breakthrough, obviously, in the NCAA tournament, but now you might see a little bit of a renaissance. A&M, Arkansas, and Alabama, thoroughly impressive during opening weekend. And as we look ahead, how can you not be excited for what's going to happen Tuesday night in Chicago in the Champions Classic? Because I think the matchup between Duke and Michigan State has a Final Four level feel. I voted them 1 and 2 this week in my top 25. And you look, obviously, at what we're seeing with Duke. You are seeing right now a guy in Marvin Bagley III, who by reclassifying and going to Duke this year, changed the landscape of college basketball. Averaging right now 24.5 points and 10 rebounds a game through his first two college games. And he is now going to have to be faced with the task, along with Wendell Carter, of going up against the deepest front court in college basketball. And Tom Izzo just doesn't have a platoon system. He has tanks coming down the hill with the snap of his finger. Because Izzo has six guys: Jaren Jackson Jr., Nick Ward, Gavin Schilling, Ben Carter, Kenny Goins, and also Xavier Tillman, that can play either of the two front court spots. And that doesn't include Miles Bridges, who started at the four last year as a small ball power forward. How does Bagley respond to that? That's what I'm curious to see coming up Tuesday night in Chicago. And then Kentucky and Kansas. Kentucky was very fortunate to escape from Rupp Arena with a victory on Sunday against a very good Vermont team. But one thing that's clear: this Kentucky team cannot guard the dribble. And when you look at the chemical makeup of Kansas right now, you see small ball. You see Graham. You see Malik Newman. You see LeGerald Vick. You see Svi Mykhailiuk. So what I'm curious to see is, how is Kentucky, a team that obviously against Vermont could not guard the basketball, going to keep that Kansas quartet of perimeter players in front of them? And will John Calipari continue to fight the internal fight and go into a zone, something he has hated to do throughout the duration of his 30-year career? Because I see this Kentucky team right now as a team that has a chance to be a lethal zone defense team, a team that looks like, in terms of its physical attributes, a vintage Syracuse team in the 2-3 under Jim Boeheim. Now, one thing I do want to point out in terms of Kentucky: Kentucky does have a chance to expose Kansas on the glass in this game, and that is Kansas's weakness. I'm curious to see if Kentucky can get Udoka Azubuike in foul trouble. It's the Champions Classic on Tuesday night in Chicago. Duke, Michigan State in a Final Four caliber field type game, and then you have Kentucky and Kansas. Can the Wildcats stay close? Now, one team that a lot of teams are going to have a hard time staying close to is Seton Hall. The Pirates 2-0 out of the gate in 17-18, and the head coach of the Seton Hall Pirates, Kevin Willard, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Seton Hall is 2-0 out of the gates in the 17-18 season. Pirates getting ready for Indiana on Wednesday night as part of the Gavitt Games. And the head coach of Seton Hall is Kevin Willard. He now joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And Kevin, your evaluation of your team after 80 minutes of basketball.
Yeah, I like the way we're passing the basketball, John. You know, we're really playing unselfish basketball. The ball's popping. We're getting the ball at a good pace, getting the ball up and down. We've been very balanced in the scoring department, and I think that's just because we're playing unselfish basketball.
It's obviously the result of steady point guard play. Kadeen Carrington now transitioning to the lead guard role. 10 assists to 2 turnovers through 2 games. You made a transition 2 years ago when you won the Big East and moved Isaiah Whitehead to point guard. I'm curious, how is the transition for Kadeen Carrington to point guard similar to the one that Isaiah Whitehead went through at point guard?
Well, I think they're both going through a little bit of the same thing, is the fact that I think Kadeen's running the offense well. He's making some really good looks. Could have had 3 or 4 more assists last night if we had made some shots. But at that same point, he's kind of struggling a little bit offensively, shooting the basketball, just getting used to carrying the load of getting us in an offense, getting us in the right plays, and also defending at a high level. So as he kind of gets his legs back under him, I think he's going to continue to improve and improve.
Now, I mentioned that team 2 years ago with Isaiah Whitehead at point guard won the Big East tournament, went to the NCAA tournament. How does this team compare to that one?
Well, I think we're a little bit deeper than that year's team. you know, obviously, we're older, we're a little bit more mature. We're much better inside with Angel Delgado, who was a sophomore back then. Now he's a senior, and you know, he's so much better offensively. We run a lot of offense through him. So I think that year we're a little bit more pick and roll oriented. This year we're a little bit more post and post oriented.
You know, head coach Kevin Willard joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Pirates 2-0 out of the gate. We'll host Indiana Wednesday night as part of the Gavitt Games. And, you know, returning talent always usurps incoming talent in college basketball, regardless of how one-and-done type players are hyped. But the one thing that also happens when you have returning talent, and returning talent that's won, is high expectations. You have that this year. How has the battle been just having these guys fight human nature and each and every day people writing and talk about how good they're supposed to be?
Yeah, it's, you know, the good thing about this group is, and we really not embraced it, but, you know, I've wanted these guys to, you know, reap the rewards of a lot of hard work. This group has been a hard-working group from the time they stepped on campus, and this is not something that was given to them. This was something that was earned, and, you know, I haven't had to worry about that much because they come and they work hard every day. They have a great attitude every day. They all have individual goals as long as team goals, and they're all close to achieving both of those. So it hasn't been as hard as I thought it might be because they've really kept working extremely hard.
Now, Kevin, you know, you look at Seton Hall and you look at, obviously, the makeup since you've gotten this job. It's been difficult for Seton Hall certain times to get marquee games. I look at your schedule right now. Indiana isn't vintage Indiana, but they're coming to your place to play. You're going to Louisville. You're going to play Texas Tech. You're going to play VCU, who obviously went to a Final Four in the last 6 years. Where does this non-conference schedule rank in terms of the toughest you've been associated with as a head coach?
Yeah, I think besides my first year, you know, this probably is our toughest non-conference schedule. And, you know, scheduling is tough when you don't have your own arena. And obviously we have a great partnership with the Prudential Center, and it's a great place to play. But, you know, when you're not the main tenant and you're working behind dates, sometimes it's tough to get a good and balanced schedule. And I think that's what this year's schedule is. I think it gives us a chance to test ourselves. It gives us a chance to play some tough road games. We have some really exciting home games. So it's definitely the toughest non-conference schedule, but I also think it's the most balanced.
Well, and obviously when you look at non-conference schedules, that's something you have to deal with first. But before you can even start to think about what's going to happen at the end of the season and going on a deep run in March, you have to think about winning your conference. And the team that's really dominated this new rendition of the Big East has been Villanova. Since the beginning of this new Big East conference, Villanova has won 71 conference games and 51 of them by double figures. How much internally have you and your team talked about, first before anything else, winning a Big East regular season title?
Well, yeah, now that you put the numbers like that, I might not even show up to the Villanova game. You know, we haven't really every team has goals of winning, obviously, your national championship, your conference tournament, your regular season tournament. But I've said this all along, until someone actually comes along and knocks off Villanova and someone does it, you know, it's still their conference right now. So, you know, we've talked about it, but at the end of the day, you know, our main focus right now is really just trying to get better each and every day. If we focus on that, then, you know, we'll give ourselves a chance as the season continues.
Kevin Willard joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Pirates 2-0 will host Indiana on Wednesday night in Newark. Now, when you got this job, it was in the old Big East Conference. The league has shifted to a 10-team league right now. How has the job changed?
It's, you know, I think the new conference kind of gave, it was interesting. It kind of gave us a chance, you know, to kind of get out of the bottom of the shadows, kind of all the other programs that were there. And the league has done a great job with Fox as a partner of, you know, really establishing us, as giving us a chance to kind of be a national name. All our games are on national TV. their broadcasts are great, and I think the fact that we went to the new league with 10 teams, it gave us a chance to kind of promote our program and what we had to offer, and the new league has done, it's just been really good for us that way.
What are the differences as a head coach when you have a double round-robin format versus maybe an imbalanced schedule like you have with a bigger league?
I think what you get, and which is great about a league now, is you really start to form some rivals. You know, you really get your fans kind of get into, they understand that each year you're going to see each team twice, so, you know, they start hating certain coaches more than other coaches. In the old league, it was, you know, you might play Louisville on January 10th of that year, but then you might not play them again till March 1st of the next year, so you might go a whole year without seeing a team, and it was tough to build good rivals within the league. And now I think with this new playing the doubleheaders, you know, teams, the players get to know each other, the coaches get to know each other, and I think the games are so more competitive.
Well, competitive games are obviously the sign of a league that's very tough, and you know, that was the way really the old Big East was, and this league has become. But Seton Hall was not always in a position where it had a number next to its name and people talked about lofty goals and expectations when you first got the job. It's always easier to reflect than it probably is to look forward. Now looking back on things, what was the hardest part and lowest point of the rebuilding process that you had at Seton Hall?
Yeah, I think the hardest part was, you know, really not being able to kind of do it the way I wanted it to do it. You know, it was, we had everyone kind of really thought that we still, you know, had to do it a certain way, and you had to recruit a certain type of kid. And, you know, when you're a younger coach and you take a great job and a big time job, you know, sometimes you listen to the people you probably shouldn't listen to. And I think that was really the hardest part, was not getting the type of kids that, you know, were going to help us win here, and listen to the people saying that you had to recruit certain types of kids or certain types of, you know, looking at numbers, and you're so worried about, you know, is a kid a top 100 kid, a top 200 kid. And really, probably the lowest point was when we lost to Marquette in the Madison Square Garden in the Big East, first round of the Big East tournament. You know, that was it was a tough time, because we had a great group of kids who had really worked hard to kind of, we got to be ranked 17th that year, and then, a couple injuries here and there, and we just kind of fell apart. So, it's always a journey, John. It's one of those things that, you know, I give the staff and a lot of credit, because we just kept working hard. We kept our, didn't worry about what people were saying. We just kind of kept working hard, and we found our niche. And I think, we got great kids in the program now that represent the school terrifically.
Well, and I also think it always helps when you're a program as you are now that is going to be highlighted each time you play, that you have past experiences that really align with teams that play deep into the NCAA tournament. When you were an assistant at Louisville in 2005, you were a part of a staff that went to a Final Four. How does the chemical makeup of this team compare to that one at Louisville?
Yeah, it's very similar. The fact that we had a center, Ellis Miles, who was, we really ran a lot of offense through, could score down low, great passer, a lot like Angel. I think the biggest difference in that Louisville team is, you know, Francisco Garcia was a tremendous, tremendous scorer that year for us. Was just really played at a very, very high level all year long. And then that Louisville team was a lot of fun, a lot like my team now. You know, great kids, worked hard, no BS or anything like that. So, but you gotta take care of business at the beginning of the year just as much as anything else in college basketball.
Well, as you evolve right now and you get ready for Indiana and beyond, what do you ultimately believe are going to be the biggest keys to being in a situation like you've been in the last 2 years and playing your best basketball in March?
Yeah, I think we got to continue to develop defensively. You know, we have to get a better defensive mindset for 40 minutes. You know, right now we're having really good spurts and really good energy on the defensive end, but I don't think we haven't gotten to a point where, I feel that at any given night our defense is going to help us win games. And we're much more talented offensively this year, but I still don't think we've developed a good defensive mindset, and that's going to be our focus over the next month or two.
Final thing for me, Kevin. Seton Hall went to the national championship game in 1989. It's been to the Sweet 16 a couple of times since then, but this is not a program that's synonymous with Duke, Kansas, Louisville, Carolina. Is there more urgency felt to have the type of breakthrough season that everybody hopes you can have because Seton Hall doesn't get these types of opportunities on an annual basis?
No, I don't think so, John. Hopefully, you know, with the kids we're recruiting now, we just signed two great players. I think with the kids we're recruiting now and where the program is, you know, hopefully we'll be giving ourselves more and more opportunities. And I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, you look at what Coach K has done at Duke and some of the, you know, all these guys that are all these great coaches is, you know, longevity. They've been able to, you know, put their stamp on a program. And we've been here now. This is going on our eighth year. And I feel like we're recruiting really good kids. We're getting great kids in the program. And I think the more you do that and the more you're consistent you're at, you're going to have more than just one opportunity, and that's my goal for Seton Hall.
Well, Kevin, appreciate a couple minutes. Good luck against Indiana. Look forward to covering your team the rest of the way.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it as always.
We'd like to thank Seton Hall head coach Kevin Willard for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also want to remind you that today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Audible. Audible makes getting more books in your life easy. What's not to love about that? They have an absolutely unbeatable selection of audiobooks, all with fantastic performances. You can easily transform your long commute and ride with Audible. Right now, you can start a 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is free. You have to go to audible.com/hoops. Audible has an outstanding collection of exclusive originals, short stories, and comedy, plus the best of news, podcasts, and more, handpicked and continuously refreshed. Be sure to check out audible.com/hoops to start your 30-day trial and get your first audiobook free. And now it's time for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Our first question comes from Mark Pappas, and it's, John, do you think that West Virginia fans should lower expectations after the blowout loss to Texas A&M? And Mark, my response to that is simple. I said when Brandon Knapper was not going to play this year due to a knee injury and Issa Ahmad was going to miss half the year with a suspension, depth issues would arise for West Virginia. And if West Virginia doesn't have depth, then they can't press the same way, they can't attack the same way, they can't gamble as much as on defense. That is something that I think West Virginia fans should get used to. I really think right now that other than Kansas, the best team in the Big 12 is TCU. I think Jamie Dixon, I'm not just saying this because we had him on the podcast last week, has a really, really complete basketball team. Our next question comes from CT24, and it's, John, is Jalen Barford and Darryl Macon a top three backcourt in the country? I am not ready to say that about Jalen Barford and Darryl Macon, but the Arkansas guards have been sensational out of the gate for Mike Anderson. And to me, I said it in the open, this was the surprise team of opening weekend. Not just beating Bucknell and Samford, but the way they beat Bucknell and Samford. And give Mike Anderson credit for the way he scheduled his bye games. Bucknell and Samford going to be at the top of their league. He also will host Fresno State coming up, a team that could win the Mountain West. So some really, really good scheduling, in my opinion, from Mike Anderson. So I think that Arkansas right now, a team to definitely watch in the SEC moving forward. And now we filled your social media needs. Let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, Duval's dominance. Duke freshman Trayvon Duval with a 20-1 assist-to-turnover ratio through his first two college games. You can't make that up. Nugget number two, assertive Aggies. How about Texas A&M's junior trio of Tyler Davis, DJ Hogue, and Admon Gilder? 23 of 32 from the field combined against West Virginia. Scored 65 of the team's 88 points. Nugget number three, McKillop the master. How about Bob McKillop and Davidson against Charleston Southern on Friday night? 29 assists as a team to just one turnover, drilled a school record 26 three-point shots. This could be the sleeper team in the Atlantic 10. Nugget number four, the real McCoy. This got swept under the rug a little bit after opening weekend, but UNLV freshman Brandon McCoy, a five-star prospect, 25-18, two-block shots in his college debut. Nugget number five, deep waters. Will Wade won his opening game as head coach of LSU, but how about freshman point guard Tremont Waters? He had 27 in the triumph over Alcorn State. Now, let's get to some games to watch.
Games to watch. Games to watch.
Tuesday, we've got three of them, the two in the Champions Classic, Duke against Michigan State, Kentucky against Kansas, a sneaky good game in Arizona Tuesday night, San Diego State at Arizona State. Wednesday, Gavitt games, Butler at Maryland. I've talked at length about how I like this Maryland team. And then Thursday, Xavier, another team that I saw in the preseason I think looks like a two or a three seed, potentially in the NCAA tournament, will go to the Kohl Center to take on Ethan Happ and Wisconsin. Would like to thank Seton Hall head coach Kevin Willard for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.